All right, this morning, super excited to introduce Rafi to you, and has been a part of our church for a while now, and she has been working hard, and I know she has some great things to share with us. So we're going to get her kind of mic'd up here as she walks up, and y'all welcome Rafi.
Let's plug in this other plug, and you can just drop this in.
Too many things. Oopsie. Oh, that one's on.
There you go.
Okay, we're good. Okay, awesome. Okay, hi. Can you guys hear me okay? Yay! I'm so excited. This is great. Okay. I have some good news and some bad news before we start. Which one do we want to hear first? Let's get the bad news out of the way. Okay, so the bad news is that I am preaching today. But the good news is I won't be going as long as Mark, hopefully. It's going to be awesome. I want to start off with a little bit of a silly story, but I feel like it captures, like, the essence about what I want to talk about today. So, let me tell you guys about this show called My Little Pony, right? Specifically an episode from the first season called The Return of the Harmony. And what My Little Pony is essentially about, it's about these talking ponies with magical powers and magical problems, you know, such a relatable experience. You know, and how they fix their magical problems is with the power of friendship and joy and all that fun stuff. And in this specific episode, the problem that they're facing is this guy, Discord, okay? And he's just like an amalgamation of creatures. But essentially what he wants to do is he's trying to steal all of their magic. I know, it's terrible. And how he's trying to do that is he's trying to divide up their friendship, right? He doesn't end up succeeding. And that's mostly because of our girl Fluttershy, right? Fluttershy is a Pegasus, and her magic is all about compassion and kindness. And he ultimately tries to, like, deceive her over and over again. He's like, your friends don't believe in you. And every time, she's like, no, I trust my friends. And that's how they end up defeating him, and it's great. But I think that kindness and that compassion is pretty important, and I feel like we see that a lot in the Bible. So I want to talk a little bit about John 21:15-17, but before I do that, I want to give you a little bit of context about what was going on when this was happening. So this is after Jesus has died and been revived, so it's like during these 40 days where he's back from the grave, you know, and before he returns to heaven. And before this little piece of scripture, Jesus talks to his disciples, he's like, oh, just throw your nets on the other side of the boat, and then you'll get fish. And then they have, like, so many fish, it's great. But it's a parallel back to when he initially meets a number of disciples, and essentially the same thing occurs. But this conversation is happening, like, after they are done eating breakfast, they've cooked their fish, and here's what happens. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then I just wanted to give a little bit of additional context on the tail end of that. So essentially on the night that Jesus is crucified, like the night before, he predicts that Peter will essentially deny knowing him three times before the rooster crows, right? And this happens. So this, with Jesus asking him, do you love me, three different times, it's Peter's form of redemption, if that makes sense. You know, there's multiple interpretations we can take out of that text there, you know. Most plainly, you can read it as, you should care about people, And it's great, but there's more to it than that. There's some repetition going on there, and repetition can have multiple purposes, but I'd like to focus on just one for today. Okay, pop quiz. Who can remember our church's vision statements? I like the spirit. Does anybody remember them? Mark did a whole thing where he, for like a couple of weeks, he was like, our thing is to be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did, right? And he did that for a reason, you know, and he says that multiple times so that we remember it. We repeat things so that we remember them, and it's great. And this isn't the only time specifically, like, in the scripture that we hear this message. We hear it, like, 100 bazillion times. I don't know a bigger number. And in 100 billion different ways, and it's great. So, for example, in Matthew 22:37-40, when he's talking, he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he answers essentially with this. He says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is like the exact same thing as feeding his sheep. It's pretty much the same thing. It's saying you should care about people, and we do that by taking care of people. We hear this early in the text back in Genesis, where God says over and over again, I'm going to bless all of the nations of the world through your family. You know, this isn't the only time that we hear this message. He's repeating that message so that we know it. And that's cool theory, but we have to put it into practice. And it's great. So I want to give you 3 real life examples that have happened to me or people that are close to me of what, like, feeding the sheep looks like, right? So here's the first one. Recently, my little sister, Betty, she transferred schools in the middle of the school year, and she wasn't very happy about it, and she didn't really know anybody because, you know, it's been a few years since she's talked with these people since, like, elementary school, right? And on her first day at school, our family friend, who's been friend of my brother, friend of me, friend of my little sister, our friend Trinity, what she did was on Betty's first day of school, she just really made Betty feel welcome. All she ended up having to do was just wave at Betty, but on Betty's first day of school, that was something that she pointed out. She was like, oh yeah, Trinity waved at me today. And I think that's important. It's not like a crazy thing that Trinity did, but it really felt Betty, blah, 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 blah. It really helps Betty feel welcome. Alrighty. Here's the second one. So I believe in the past month or so, I do believe, I was coming home from youth group with my sister Betty. It was awesome. And we opened the door, and our dog Gus was not there at the top of the stairs to, you know, greet us. So we were like, where's Gus? And that's where our dad told us the unfortunate news that he had put down our dog Gus earlier because he had some sudden lymphoma that took over. That's not the point. My brother Eli, he was here, he's now college, but he stayed up essentially as long as me and my sister needed to get through that grief with us, you know, to make sure that we were okay. And that's really important also, and it's not the craziest thing in the world, but it still really mattered to me and my sister in that moment, you know, and it still matters now. Okay. Final example, who's ready? Yes! Okay, so last year, National Junior Honor Society, it's essentially like the baby version of National Honor Society at my school, we did a bake sale last year for a program called RIP Medical Debt. And essentially what the program did, or what the RIP Medical Debt did, was they would buy hospital debt off, like, hospitals for a tenth of the price, and then they would forgive it, and it was all, like, donation-driven. But my school ended up raising like $300-something in like funds, and that ended up forgiving $3,000-something in medical debt for somebody in the United States. And $3,000, like, it's not a huge dent in all of the medical debt in like all of the United States, but it mattered to that person. And that's what this is all about. You know, it's not about doing incredibly difficult things. It's not about becoming Mother Teresa and bringing about world peace. It's about doing the little things to just make people's lives better. You know, feeding a sheep is about doing those simple things. You know? Okay, I have one last thing to leave you with. I told you it would be quick. So earlier I referenced Matthew 22:30-40, but I'll read it again as a little treat. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I'd like to draw the connection that by loving our neighbor, by caring about people around us, by you know, just waving at people and making them feel welcome, I would argue that by doing that, we are loving God. Calm down, I still have an ending prayer. Let me pray for us. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing all the people here safely. Please let us, you know, abide by your word and do our best to make people feel welcome in our daily lives, and by waving at people and by just being there for people when they need us. Amen.